Eliot says, I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Eliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty and Passion and Purity, Learning to Bring Your Love Life Under God's Control. Helping you find joy in your Christian walk with the Savior today. Here's Elizabeth Eliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Eliot. Delighted to be talking today with my son-in-law, Walt Shepherd, pastor of a church in South Carolina, and my daughter, Valerie. So actually, they will be talking together.
Walt, why don't you and I tell the story of how you met my mother and how I met you and how my mother has influenced our lives?
Well, Val, maybe you don't even know this, but before we were ever an item, I was in a friend of mine's living room looking at a book called The Savage, My Kinsman, looking at some pictures. And these little pictures of a blonde-haired little girl were just striking to me. And the hostess, I didn't realize she was trying to get me interested in seriously pursuing marriage. She said, what did you think of that book? And I said, well, I like the book very much. She said, no, what did you think of her? And I said, her? And she said, yes, the little girl there, Valerie. And I said, you mean that blonde-haired little girl? And she said, yes, Walt. What did you think? I said, I thought she was terrific, but where are you going with this? And she said, well, where do you think she is now? I said, well, probably married to Billy Graham's son. And she laughed and said, no, she's right down the street. And I said, you're kidding. She says, yes, she lives at the home of one of the professors, Dr. Addison Leach. Dr. Leach married Elizabeth Eliot. And Valerie is their daughter there. So I thought, wow, isn't that interesting? But I didn't do anything about it or really get any hopes up or anything. But it was later on in that semester that I heard your mother speak at Gordon-Conwell. At the seminary, they had invited a fella to talk about missions who really didn't know what he was talking about. And on the end of his week, they invited Elizabeth Eliot to make some kind of presentation, and it turned out to be almost a refutation of what the man said, and it was really good. It was solid, it was biblical, and it really gave you hope. And I knew something about missions. I knew a little bit, but not a whole lot, but I could tell your mom had just waxed this poor guy. Well, anyway, we were all impressed, and I was just with a bunch of seminary students just standing there speechless after it was over with, but I couldn't stand it, and I went up to her, and I said, ma'am, I've never heard a presentation like that. I just wish I could hug you. And then I realized what I was saying. I said, you fool, shut up. And I turned and ran from the auditorium.
Literally ran?
Yes. Now, I was a character. I got outside to the parking lot realizing what in the world I must have looked like. I was a good bit bigger than I am now. Isn't that hard to imagine? And had lots more hair. Had hair growing all over my face. And probably had my usual standard uniform of the day, which was blue jean shirt and blue jeans, period. So I probably didn't strike an exciting pose. But I didn't think any more about it until it was later the next year. I was looking for a house. I needed a place to live in. And I was staying, if you remember, I was staying with a couple. One of my best friends had offered his couch in his living room. They had a one-bedroom apartment. And this couch was made for half of me. But that's where I was sleeping, and I was eating there. And they were being very gracious, very hospitable. But they were also looking madly for a place for me to go. And the dean of students had talked to your mom about the possibility of a live-in student to help her care for your stepdaddy who was dying of cancer. You remember all this. So your mom asked him for a reference, and he gave her my name. And one day I answered my buddy's phone. It was ringing there in the living room. I picked it up, and it was this voice. It was the voice of your mom. And I thought, I've never heard anything like this. And my voice caught. I'm sure I gasped for breath. And she said, is Walter Shepherd there? And I stammered something like, I'm it, or whatever. And it was so funny. She said, I would like to talk to you. And I thought, what have I done now? I am in deep trouble. And she said, I would like to interview you. Could you make arrangements to come to my house at such and such a time and day? And I said yes, and I really wasn't sure what was going on. Later, my buddy told me, she wants to interview for lodging there. She's got a place for you to live. Mm-hmm. So I wound up at your house one evening with my buddy, and we were in your living room. I remember those red walls, that red wallpaper. I remember the blue sofa, mm-hmm. the blue couch. And this pretty, pretty, stunning, let's say, young lady in a blue dress sitting there in the sofa. And I was sitting in a rocker across the room, and there was your mom. And she was just, I mean, she was working hard on this interview. She had notes in front of her. Mm-hmm. My life flashed before mm-hmm. me several times. And I'll never forget one of those questions. One of the questions was, now, I'm a meticulous house cleaner. Does that pose any problem? Well, I don't know. Do you remember that night as clearly as I remember it?
I remember you sitting across the living room, and I thought, there's a handsome young man over
there.
Now,
wait.
But I wasn't paying much attention to my mother's questions.
Well, I don't remember much either, except I do remember several pointed questions like the one I just mentioned. And I think I got a yes, no. Something that was confused and ambiguous.
Did you know what meticulous meant?
I thought I had some idea that, but it didn't quite fit the caricature
the way
of me.
You were. Mm-hmm.
But we wound up with her agreeing that yes, I would do somehow, and that's how really I came to your house. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The day I moved in was the day your stepfather died.
Mm-hmm. But you were moving in actually before he died, so you didn't know that.
No.
You didn't know that he actually would die that night, but he was close to death. And 3 days before that, I had said goodbye to my stepfather, believing that he would be healed. So cheerfully saying goodbye, thinking the next time I see my daddy, he'll be just perfectly fine. But he had said to me, I don't think I will see you again. So you moved in that day, and
now you had
he
gone
died.
To Wheaton, right?
I had left for Wheaton the
Wheaton
weekend
College.
Before, and I'm not sure I knew that you were actually moving in, but it was that night after you'd moved in that he died.
Right, and I thought, oh, this is time for me to move. Now, I didn't have a lot to move. I mm-hmm. think it was two pairs of blue jeans, mm-hmm. two jean shirts, a winter coat of some sort. I think it's that leather, mm-hmm. that thing that could stand up by itself if you let it, mm-hmm. and maybe one pair of shoes. One had those outrageous heels, that enormous
1969 type shoes.
Yeah, real, the colorful variety, mm-hmm. and so it wasn't a whole lot to unpack and mm-hmm. move out. And as I was starting to leave, your mom said, where are you going? Would you mind staying to help me with some company that's going to be coming in? And so I was kind of a houseboy at that point, and mm-hmm. just helping folks get arranged. She had some guests spending the night there. And
so you had decided that you were going to leave when you
yeah.
discovered that he might be dying?
I thought that was the appropriate thing to do.
But you hadn't told her that you were not going to move in.
I didn't know what view to take. I was a little nervous about everything, and I mm-hmm. didn't want to get in anybody's way.
In the way. Mm-hmm.
And it turned out she had a big dinner for people that were coming from out of town, and so I was a little help there. Mm-hmm. It was so funny. Your Aunt Van, who is one of your mom's best friends, came in and really said, you're going to be needed here, mm-hmm. so stick around and see what you can do to help. Mm-hmm. And so that's what happened. And then a week and 2 weeks, and your mom said, how about being a renter, a lodger? Mm-hmm. And that's how I worked out a deal where I got to meet you later when you came back from college.
On my end, I got wonderful letters from my mother weekly anyway while I was at college, and she began to mention this young man, Walt Shepherd, that was living as a lodger. And she told me in one of her letters that he was like an angel to her because you helped her so much. You were such a kind gentleman, and she loved your Southern ways with treating her as a lady. And you always said yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and she loved that. So you charmed her socks off, we might say.
Well, that certainly wasn't something I was aware of. I did know that it was such an honor being in her home. Mm. Your mom was a legend on campus. Mm-hmm. One of my best buddies used to say, listen, that's a wonderful lady, but beware of her icy cold stare. And he said, he referred to it as a Belgian stare. And I said, where'd you get that? And he said, she was born in Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all a joke. I mean, mm-hmm. this buddy of mine was crazy about her. His name was Ron. And it was just the fun I had of being in that house and getting to talk with her. I'd bring home notes from classes and which didn't make any sense to me, and she'd help me see the practical side of all of that theology.
You would actually go into her study and sit down after you got back from your classes and say, teach me something, or you'd ask her questions, and she loved being able to talk to you. She couldn't believe that you had such an open and hungry ear for what she had to teach.
And on my part, I couldn't understand why she is so patient and had so much time for me to ask these rather dumb questions that kept coming up.
I'm sure they weren't dumb, but as I was at the beginning of my sophomore year at Wheaton, and through that fall, and I had received these letters from my mama saying that you were such a wonderful help to her, I began to be slightly interested in who this might be. Since I had met you, I knew you were handsome, but I didn't know anything else about you. I came home for my Christmas break, and you were there for 1 week before you had to go home for your Christmas break. And so we got to know each other just a little bit. There was one night when I ironed and you polished shoes in the kitchen, and we stayed there and talked.
I ran out of shoes to polish, so I started polishing them over.
We're thankful for what God did in bringing us together.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.